We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome back to another edition of House of Hoosier. Another special guest for us today as we preview tonight's matchup between the Indiana Hoosiers. They host the Iowa Hawkeyes, two similar teams resume-wise so far on the season. We have on our very own Tyler Tashman for the Des Moines Register, a beat writer for Iowa, who spent a lot of time here at Bloomington, student at Indiana, did a lot of stuff with the Indiana Athletic Department and beat writing for Indiana. So Tyler, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me. It's going to be kind of a clash of two worlds for me. These are the two teams that I've followed really closely this season. So just interested to see how it turns out.
Yeah, obviously you're covering a lot of Iowa, but how much of Indiana are you actually paying attention to still?
I've watched every game that I've been able to. I've missed maybe a few, not many. I've watched pretty much every game for the most part, so.
Good on you, because sometimes it's hard to watch this team, and I know the Hoosiers right now on a three-game skid. It feels like they haven't won in a few weeks, but I guess let's just start Indiana. Kind of what have you seen this year from the Hoosiers? I know that the losing streak is what sticks out right now, but kind of what have you seen this year? I know it's a completely different team from the one you saw last year, but what are your kind of impressions as we're over the halfway point nearly in February?
Yeah, a lot has gone wrong. I think part of it is the guard play, which has been pretty obvious, but basically, you know, Mike Woodson and the staff bet on Trey Galloway, Xavier Johnson, and other returning guys developing, and that didn't really turn out the way that Indiana, you know, really hoped. You know, there's still time left. I know Xavier Johnson has taken a lot of criticism, but he just hasn't played a lot of meaningful basketball in the last two seasons, so that makes things more difficult when you're trying to get into the flow and the rhythm of a game. But, you know, the way – I don't think talent is an issue. I just think more the way that the talent is spread on the team. Malik Renew has been really good. Khalil Ware as well when he's been healthy. But the guard play just hasn't been good enough, and it just feels like there's just been toughness lacking. You know, I know that's kind of an intangible word, but it felt like the last two seasons – Indiana had that kind of edge to them. Even when you look at, they got to the NCAA tournament in Mike Woodson's first season, they had their backs against up against the wall going into the Big Ten tournament, beat Michigan, beat Illinois. There's just been so many games this season where IU has just gotten punched in the mouth and just has stayed down. I mean, you look at the Auburn game, Purdue, you know, it feels like there's something kind of lacking in that DNA of the team.
I mentioned earlier how both teams have kind of similar resumes, 12-8 overall record. Both have a 4-5 record of the Big Ten, exactly the same there. But the style of basketball they play is very different. Iowa is the same kind of Iowa team they've always been, a very offensive, a lot of firepower still, even though they're struggling this year. They shoot the ball pretty well, which is the opposite of Indiana, at least that shooting the ball really well part. Indiana went 40 minutes with 0 3-pointers made in that loss in Champaign, Illinois. I guess for some of our viewers who haven't really watched Iowa a ton this year, can you kind of touch on more on what kind of Iowa's style of play is like?
it was crazy because when I first started covering Iowa basketball, I was like, this is so weird, because having like watched the end of the Archie Miller era, where it was just like a stale brand of basketball, and then Iowa, they're just running and gunning. It was like, this is like a new world to me. But yeah, they play fast. Tony Perkins, he has been incredible over the last month plus. He's playing at an all Big Ten level. And Peyton Sanford has been kind of up and down, but he can shoot the ball extremely well. He can get really hot. But yeah, I mean, you know, this is kind of your normal, you know, Fran McCaffrey team, where it's not going to be a great defensive club, but they beat teams with their offense, with getting hot, with shooting. So, you know, it is very much, you know, two sort of contrasting styles of play.
We'll talk about the schedule now, and seemingly it feels like a lot of the teams in the Big Ten play very well at home. Iowa, it feels like at times that they look better on the road, especially in the Big Ten. What have you seen through, what is it, 9 games so far, especially home versus road splits? Because Iowa started off with a few tough losses to begin Big Ten play. The home loss against Michigan probably raised some eyebrows, but since then they look pretty good on the road. So I guess, how do you think their style on the road will fare when the fans, they're going to be ready at Assembly Hall tonight?
They've been good on the road, actually, kind of surprisingly. They beat Minnesota on the road pretty, you know, commandingly. Same thing with Michigan. You know, you mentioned the Michigan loss, which was in Iowa City. That was the third game of a 3-game stretch in which they lost by a combined 54 points. That was just a dreadful stretch. And that Michigan game, the 2 games before, they played at Purdue and at Iowa State right before, so Michigan kind of kicked them when they were already down. But they're a different team than they were back then. They've showed improvement. They've showed growth. They're not world beaters by any means, but they're definitely they've definitely developed as the season has gone on. And Assembly, of course, is a really difficult place to play. But last season, Iowa came into Assembly and just absolutely clobbered Indiana, which was, I mean, that was a real, like, shocking sight to see, because you don't see a lot of teams come in there and do that. And especially Iowa last year, you know, was, they were good, but it wasn't like they were, you know, one of the best teams in the nation. So they have a lot of guys from that team on this season's team. So, you know, I would be surprised if they're really daunted or overwhelmed by, you know, the atmosphere at Assembly, as raucous as it might be.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
We talked about Iowa being a very fast-paced team. That's one of the fastest-paced teams in the country. Indiana isn't one of the slowest-paced teams in the country, but they definitely like to slow things down. They are a slower-paced team. I guess, what do you expect to be that kind of pace? Who do you think has a better chance of kind of imposing what they want to do on tomorrow's game or tonight's game?
Well, it's interesting because I actually kind of got in a similar, like a slow game against Maryland recently, and Maryland ended up winning late in the game. And, you know, I could definitely see Indiana trying to make it that sort of slower, you know, pace. But if this becomes a shootout, I just don't think Indiana has the firepower to keep up with Iowa. They don't have the shooting, or they don't even take threes. And that's a big part of what Indiana's issue is that they don't take enough threes. They don't make enough threes. If it becomes a high volume, up and down pace game, I mean, I give a huge advantage to Iowa, because of just the fact that I don't feel like Indiana has the offensive firepower to keep up. So if it's, you know, if this is a game that that Indiana wins, I look at it as maybe the way they beat Maryland at home, you know, where it's, you know, if they can slow things down, you know, slow Iowa down, you know, on the offensive end, you know, I think that would really be to their.
We talk a lot about how Indiana is a different team this year, and you could say the same for Iowa. I know a lot of the conference or a lot of names that are no longer here this year compared to last year. And obviously, no more Chris Murray. Indiana fans are going to say, finally, there's no more Murray on this Iowa team. But no Connor McCaffrey, no Philip Robracha. Kind of, what have you seen from the newcomers? Ben Krikey's the first guy that comes to mind that kind of changed, maybe not changed the philosophy of this Iowa team, but allowed them to kind of pick up where they left off from last year as an NCAA tournament team.
Yeah, he's been really good as a veteran guy. He's not the most athletic or explosive, but he's a lefty, has really good touch around the rim. His mid-range game is just it's almost automatic. It's kind of a lost art that he has. But Owen Freeman, freshman big man, he's been really good. He just won on Monday, Big Ten Freshman of the Week for the seventh time. The one issue he kind of has is foul trouble, and that is a big key, I think, against Indiana, of him being able to stay out of foul trouble, because you know, trying to potentially slow down someone like Malik Renew, or if Khalil Ware plays, if Owen Freeman can stay out of foul trouble, you know, that's a big thing. But you know, and I think he's real at this point a front runner for freshman of the year. But as far as other newcomers, they have four freshmen that to varying degrees are in the rotation. Three of them get, I guess, a little bit more playing time. Owen Freeman starts. But then you have some more, some older guys, Peyton Sanford. Patrick McCaffrey's been dealing with injury. He's coming off the bench now. But Josh Dix is a guard that has really elevated his play as a sophomore. He's been in the starting lineup. He's pretty steady with what he can do. But Iowa is deeper than last season. That's one of the things that they have the benefit of. They are deeper. They can throw a lot of bodies at you, and I think that helps just with the pace that they play at.
It's funny you mentioned Freeman. That's what I was going to ask next. It's even if we still don't know if Khalil Ware is going to play tonight. We're still waiting on that verdict. Even if he doesn't, there's a lot of good post play in this game. Malik Renew has obviously been a bright spot for Indiana the last few games in their struggles to even keep it close in that game against Illinois without being able to make a three. And then you got Freeman and Krikey on the other side for Iowa, which makes a pretty good Hawkeye front court. What do you kind of see in the contrasted style of play between those two front courts, and what's that going to look like tonight?
It's interesting watching Owen Freeman play, because there are fundamental differences. I'm not saying that this is a perfect parallel, but it reminds me of what Trace Jackson Davis did as a freshman at Indiana, where you could just tell in a Big Ten where it's so difficult for young big men to succeed and thrive, that both of those guys, like, they just did stuff that other freshman big men don't usually do in the Big Ten. They both have really good touch around the rim, really good footwork. I think Trace is more athletic than Owen, but they both can block shots. So you know, what he does reminds me a little bit, you know, of what Trace did, in that you can also see, like, he is going to be a dude, you know, in the coming years, like what he's doing as a freshman, you know, you would expect him to just build on it and be a dominant guy in the paint moving forward. But no, I feel like one of the, you know, the big keys is whether Iowa can slow down Indiana's front court, because Iowa's front court is good, but that's they're not necessarily big and they're not necessarily deep in the front court. So if they get in foul trouble, I think Malik Renouk can cause some major issues for them. They also, if Khalil Ware does play, Iowa just doesn't have really the height to deal with him. They don't really have a great matchup for him. So Indiana definitely has an advantage when it comes to front court play, especially because I just don't know if Iowa can defend them. But, that's why I think if Khalil Ware doesn't play, that would be a major hit to Indiana, because that's where I think they could really expose Iowa defensively.
We saw Indiana at least defensively look like a much more cohesive unit, was the term that was being thrown around on Saturday against an Illinois team that, you know, loves to move things around, that they shoot from the outside. They play a very interesting style of basketball because of the way that their team is rostered and just the size of them. We think of Iowa as always a team, you know, they'll play five out, anyone on the floor is dangerous. But this is a team that this year, you know, they're not necessarily lighting it up from three, but they're the best in the Big Ten assists to turnover ratio. What have you seen, Tyler, that has allowed them to be so successful? In terms of not only dishing out the assist, but not turning the ball over with that quick style of play that they operate with?
Tony Perkins has been a big part of that. And just like I was saying, that I feel like Indiana has an advantage in the front court, I feel like Iowa has a clear advantage in the back court. And that's kind of the other side of the matchup, where can Trey Galloway and Xavier Johnson slow down Tony Perkins? Can they slow down Peyton Sanford? Because Perkins has been really good, not only scoring the ball, but also a guard that can cause a lot of trouble for Indiana. Just his ability to get downhill, to get guys in foul trouble, be a just real physical presence, athletic, can get to the rim and finish. And then Sanford, he has had a little bit of an up and down year. He hasn't kind of had like the clear breakout that people expected. But when he gets hot, it's really hard for other teams to combat that. And I think he is Iowa's most important player, because when he gets in a heater, it's really hard to beat Iowa. And that's where, you know, I feel like this is, oversimplifying things, but three is greater than two. And if Iowa just can make enough threes to hang with Indiana's two, you know, that's why I think that Iowa has, at the very minimum, a good chance of keeping this close.
As you guys know by now, we've partnered with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for the listeners and the viewers of the Field of 68 each and every week of the college basketball season. We have a special offer that will be available starting on Tuesday, January 9th, and running through Monday, February 12th, the morning after Super Bowl 58. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, in honor of the big game, you can use the bonus code FIELD158 and you'll get $158 in free bets on your first wager with BetMGM, regardless of whether or not you win that first bet. Here's how you make it work. Download the BetMGM app. Sign up using the bonus code FIELD158. Deposit at least $5 and place your first wager on any game. You'll receive $158 in bonus bets regardless of the outcome of your bet. Just make sure that you use that bonus code FIELD158 when you sign up. And remember, BetMGM is now available under one wallet in select states. As a New Jersey resident, this is super convenient when I have to go cover games in New York or Philly, which happens quite a bit. When you cross state borders, you just log into your existing account and fire away. You don't have to create separate accounts in each state. It's easy, it's simple, it's clean. And most importantly, we have some fun stuff coming up for the heart of the college basketball season. Bet insurance tokens, college hoops odd boosts, and my favorite, a nice juicy parlay boost. So download the BetMGM app and sign up today. Field 158.
All right, tell us a little bit about Iowa's outlook at this point in the season. You know, resume-wise, it's similar to Indiana in the same record, 12-8, and same record of the Big Ten at 4-5. The net, though, favors Iowa a lot more. Iowa's in the top 60 of the net, I think 57, if I'm looking right now. But if you look at individual quads, 0-6 in quad 1, very similar to Indiana, 4-0 in quad 2, but Iowa's got the two quad 3 losses. Two quad three losses. I see five quad one remaining wins for Iowa. How many of those do you think they need to win to have a shot at March? And do you think they have a shot at the tournament?
They have work to do. And I think, you know, some of the problem is the resume building opportunities they had were earlier in the season when they still were kind of quite clearly trying to figure things out. But they have Wisconsin at home. They play Michigan State. They play Northwestern. They get Illinois twice. I think if they can take maybe two of those games, if they take three, that would put them in a much better position. But they're not like totally down and out at this point, but they still have some pretty significant work to do in building those resume. That resume they have, I guess, their best wins at this point. They beat Seton Hall, which is a win that has aged pretty well, and they also beat Nebraska, which will hold a little bit of weight. But they don't have like that signature win at the top of their resume. And that's where I think, you know, a game like Wisconsin and when they play Illinois twice, those are huge opportunities to kind of really bolster that resume. At this point, you know, I feel like it might potentially come down to a game or two in the Big Ten tournament of can they win a game and, you know, potentially, you know, add another resume builder. But, you know, again, they're not down and out there. I would say maybe they're in a little bit better position than Indiana, but they definitely have, you know, stuck to, you know, accomplish if they want to make the NCAA tournament.
Hey, talk about Iowa's resume, man. Indiana fans would give up an arm and a leg for, like, let's say a win against Seton Hall or someone like that, because Indiana's best win this season, I think it could be the Maryland win right now, the way they dominated the Terrapins and the way that team has kind of turned things around. Kevin Willard has shown that his team has at least signs of looking like a cohesive group and one that was picked in the top four of the Big Ten. But let's flip it around. I guess as an Indiana alum, kind of what does Indiana need to do? Because that loss at Illinois kind of felt like it's a really uphill battle now. And it feels like IU can't afford to lose another home game this year, considering they don't have a ton of quad one games left.
Yeah, this might sound counterproductive, but I feel like almost getting the resume building wins is more important than beating a team like Iowa. Like, I feel like Indiana could afford to lose against Iowa if you trade that for, I don't know what their schedule is exactly looking like moving forward, but like a win over Michigan State or something like that. And I was kind of in the same situation where an average loss doesn't hurt them as much as just needing to stack good wins. And I think that's what Indiana needs to do at this point. The problem is there's just a difficult pathway for Indiana to get there because of the way that they've played in terms of shooting threes. They don't have the guys to do it. Maybe they do have the guys to do it, but they haven't shot enough. You know, I think Mackenzie Mbako has really come along. He's developed, you know, been a positive sign. Trey Galloway has, you know, kind of picked up his play a little bit. Maybe Xavier Johnson turned the corner against Illinois. You know, maybe that was a step in the right direction for him. But at this point, unless the pieces really come to it's too dysfunctional, you know, to see Indiana really going on a run here late. Maybe they have it, but it's you have to really, really look deep to see it.
As someone who covers both teams, I know a lot of Indiana fans are unhappy with it and frankly tired of hearing about the net. And yeah, it doesn't have a great resume per se, but when you compare it to others, 97 still feels a little bit low. Same record for both teams. Quad one, you have 0-6 versus 0-7. Indiana's quad two is 2-1. Iowa's 4-0, so Iowa has the advantage there. But Iowa's got a couple of quad three losses. Indiana has none. So you look at very similar resumes in this aspect, and Iowa is almost 40 spots above Indiana is in the net. I know you're not on the selection committee. You're not a net expert, do you have an answer? I mean, we could go through different things like margin of victory and stuff like that. But is there anything that jumps out to you as to why that is?
Well, I would almost say that the Indiana's net ranking, like the eye test, reflects that, right? Like, I don't, you know, a lot of Indiana fans, I think, would agree that, like, that team is barely a top 100 team in college basketball because that's the kind of way that they've played. Like, a lot of, even their wins have not been pretty. You look at them barely beating Michigan on the road, barely beating Ohio State at home. Like, there hasn't been, you know, a real game against a high level opponent where you look at it and say, oh, well, that was a really good win, or, you know, because like you were saying, Austin, like you were trying to think about what Indiana's best win is. And like, you know, it's kind of difficult to come up with. Maybe it's the Ohio State win, like maybe Maryland. It's going to be kind of, you're going to have to look at how these teams might kind of turn out down the road. But even in like some of those early season wins at home against like lower tier opponents. So the discrepancy in that, maybe, you know, I don't know, maybe that's a part of it. I think Iowa has maybe, based on the eye test, especially as of late, they've looked better than Indiana. But, you know, if I'm on the selection committee and I'm just watching Indiana play, you know, right now, I don't see a tournament team, you know, throw out whatever the metrics are. They just haven't kind of put it all together like you would have hoped at this point.
We've seen, obviously, the fans still not very happy over, you know, the way the coaching staff has approached some of these games. Obviously, we know Mike Woodson's old school, doesn't really, you know, think about the three-point line. But we saw at least against Illinois, with 8 days of rest, it was really only a seven-man rotation. Peyton Sparks got like 2 minutes. But it's basically the five starters, Cups and Leal, were the main seven, and Indiana went with some three-guard lineups. So I'm curious, we didn't see CJ Gunn or, who was it, Caleb Banks. I'm curious, against Iowa, do you think that's going to be more of the same? And how do you think Indiana should fare? Should they go with a three-guard set, which they've definitely looked at times this year like the most cohesive team when they play that way? So I'm curious, kind of, what lineup do you feel like Indiana should roll?
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Kind of a smaller lineup, because I think that's a lineup that people probably wanted to see, and that gives them a little bit more versatility, like playing McKenzie and Bako at the four. I think that would fare well against Iowa, because like I said, Ben Krikey he plays like a five, or I don't know. He plays like a big, but he's not like super athletic or really explosive. Like, he gets most of his stuff inside the paint. I think that's where Indiana could really take a mismatch on Iowa defensively, because McKenzie Mbaku could take him off the bounce. And also, when you look at defending Iowa, Tony Perkins, Peyton Sanford, Josh Dix, all in the starting lineup. McKenzie Mbaku has improved defensively, but if they put him on Peyton Sanford, I look at that as a matchup that Iowa can really take advantage of. So I think if you have multiple guards in there for Indiana, that would help the flexibility of stopping Iowa in transition defensively, possibly create some matchup issues on the other end of the floor. So, and especially because of how fast Iowa plays, of just being able to throw more bodies in there to keep guys fresh, I feel like that would, you know, definitely benefit them.
All right, Indiana bounces back off this three-game losing streak. Get a win against Iowa at home tonight. What do they have to do for that to happen?
They have to dominate inside and stop Iowa's guards, stop Iowa from shooting well. It feels to me like a real contrast in how each team plays, and that Indiana's going to be really front court heavy. Iowa's going to be a little bit more guard heavy. So, Malik Renew having a really good game, Khalil Ware having a really good game if he plays, and then not letting it turn into just a shootout.
Indiana is Iowa's just two teams that Mike Woodson has not beaten yet this year. The Northwest, or rather during his time as the Hoosier head coach in his 3 years. And I think all five times they played, Iowa has scored 80 points every single time, if you include the Big Ten tournament game and that Jordan Bohannon shot, which still lives, I think, in all of our nightmares. Let's get a quick score prediction here, Tyler. Does Indiana hold Iowa below 80, and can they finally get over the hump and win one against a team that really McCaffrey has had Woodson's number the last few years?
Man, I'm going to make someone mad. I'm going to make someone mad with this prediction. I'll say Iowa wins 78-75.
That's fair. I don't think anyone could be too upset at that after the way Indiana's been playing. I'll go. I think despite not making a three, I think the fact that they didn't make a three and the fact that Ware was not playing and that Renew fouled out of that Illinois game and they were still able to keep it close, I think it's a good sign. I mean, this isn't the full-strength Illinois team. Even with Terrence Shannon back, it's still not the same Terrence Shannon. I think coming off a three-game losing streak, I think they're going to have something to prove. I think it's a high-scoring game just because, you know, Iowa's defense isn't great. I'm going to go 81-77, which I know that score is a lot for Indiana fans who haven't seen a ton of scoring recently, but I think the Hoosiers pulled off by four.
That leaves me as the tie-breaking vote here. Indiana has lost three straight. It kind of feels like the mood of this team is worse even last year compared to that three-game losing streak. Tyler, I don't know if I'm completely off there, but the beginning of the year, Iowa was one of those losses, and it felt like the sky was falling. And this year, the expectations obviously weren't as high, so the sky isn't necessarily falling, but the ceiling is definitely getting closer and closer to our heads. But I will say Indiana gets back on the right foot. This is not the same Iowa team we've seen in the past, and I think the Hoosiers get one at home. I think the crowd is going to be electric, obviously. I feel like McCaffrey has just become a rival of Indiana fans. Obviously, last year when he stepped across half court and practically, you know, was listening to the huddle during that second half collapse, 81-77 is a lot of points. I will say 77-73, Indiana wins, and they get back on the right foot. But it feels like it's going to be a game in the high 70s, low 80s. We've seen Indiana at times look like a good offensive team. You look against Wisconsin, and then the way they shot the ball against Illinois, it could tell you low scoring. But it could be kind of anywhere. But Tyler, thanks for hopping on. I'm glad you at least are making the trip to Bloomington. I'm glad a lot of us are going to be happy to see you, and I'm glad we're all out of this kind of terrible Midwest weather week and a half, 2 weeks, so obviously leading back to that women's game in that snowstorm. So I'm glad we all made it through this weather.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, Tyler, I want to get your opinion. You know this Indiana fan base well, a very divisive fan base. Mike Woodson, there's been a lot of people who think he's on the hot seat. Are you a Mike Woodson supporter, or you think he's on the hot seat right now?
I don't think he's on the hot seat. I understand the frustration because there's just a lot of things, like I said, going wrong. I think the way that the roster was built wasn't good in the first place fundamentally, because Indiana, they needed – like, if they had gotten a guy like Dalton Knecht, who they tried to get out of the transfer portal, he would have been, like, perfect. I think there's, like, a Jalen Hood-Schifino-sized hole on this team as well, like a guard that can just go get his shot, can, you know, make plays for himself. But I think, you know, it doesn't help Mike Woodson. Some of the rotation things where he puts in, you know, he's put in like really heavy bench lineups. And the fact that, like I said, I don't think talent is an issue. You have some really highly touted guys. You have Khalil Ware, who is probably going to be a first round pick. You have a guard that's in his sixth year of college. You have other guys that, you know, are experienced, and there's just a lot of factors that haven't seemed to work well together. So, you know, I don't think Mike Woodson's on the hot seat. I think criticism is definitely valid, but it hasn't kind of fit together like you would have hoped at this point. Like, it seemed like last season things kind of have no Trace Jackson Davis is really kind of, you know, there's no Trace to fall back on. And one of the things I did say was before the season was like, I feel like this team has a higher ceiling and a lower floor. Lower floor being because there's no Trace to fall back on. And I think that's kind of become true. But yeah, that's my thoughts on it.
Legs. I just needed an answer to see with the fan base that is very, very split on this. You mentioned Indiana having a Jalen Hood-Schifino sized hole on this team. Well, Austin and I, after this, are heading to our IU Sports Media intramural practice where we have a Tyler Tashman sized hole on our team. So we're going to go try to fill that. But thanks for coming on. Really appreciate the insight on both Indiana and Iowa. Might be the one who gets the best combination of Indiana and Iowa. So we appreciate it. And thanks everybody for tuning in. Ben Haller alongside Austin Platt for another edition of House of Hoosier, Indiana versus Iowa tonight.